This is DW News live from Berlin. The tough battle to succeed Angela Merkel. Germany's conservatives struggle to choose their candidate for chancellor in this year's election. Two very different men are vying for the job, and after a week-long standoff, neither show any signs of backing down. Also coming up. Germany remembers the nearly 80,000 lives lost to COVID-19 in the country. Leading a commemorative service, the German president describes the pandemic as a dark time that has left deep wounds. And hundreds of students are forced to flee the flames as a wildfire rips through the Cape Town University on the slopes of Table Mountain. Nicole Fröhlich, welcome to the show. The race to succeed Angela Merkel as Germany's chancellor is heating up, and no party seems to be struggling more to find a candidate to send into the competition than her own. A self-imposed deadline by the governing CDU-CSU alliance to announce a candidate expires tonight. The standoff is between Bavaria's Premier Markus Söder and the president of the Christian Democratic Union, Armin Laschet. He is supported by party leadership, but Söder, of the smaller sister party CSU, is a lot more popular among voters. Being the biggest party in the conservative coalition, it's traditionally the CDU who nominates the candidate to spearhead the joint campaign. Angela Merkel has not yet publicly endorsed either of them. Let's bring in Michaela Kufner, our chief political editor. Michaela, good to see you. The self-imposed deadline ends tonight, but no decision yet. What's going to happen next?
That's the big question. We need one of these two men to declare, or both together ideally, to say who the next chancellor candidate for the Conservatives is supposed to be. Ordinarily, one would think, OK, why don't they just have a vote? Well, traditionally, the candidate is chosen by the upper echelons of the party, which are backing Armin Laschet, the CDU party is. But now the smaller Bavarian sister party, the CSU, is adamant that Markus Söder, simply because he is so much stronger in those opinion polls, both when you ask the general public, but also CDU conservative followers, he's seen as the man who could deliver more votes at the ballot box, and that's his key argument. So we're hearing that individual groups in Germany's federal states of the CDU are gathering this evening in Berlin. They've already come out in favor of Markus Söder, and that is pointing towards what could be a potential showdown on Tuesday if the parliamentary group in the end gets to decide this very question. Something certainly Armin Laschet, the party leader who previously has been backed by Angela Merkel, wants to avoid.
This discussion has been going on for weeks now. What is taking so long?
Well, neither wants to back down, and critics are saying that it's already exposing a weakness of Armin Laschet that he didn't adamantly declare before that, yes, he wants to be the man on the ticket. He said the man who has the best chances of actually getting elected should be on that ticket, opening up space for Markus Söder there. So we're seeing inner party fighting and bickering, something that is bruising and damaging, not just for the candidates, but for the chances of Angela Merkel's CDU-CSU conservative coalition remaining the strongest party here in Germany. So what is becoming increasingly more thinkable is that the Greens, who are certainly benefiting from this, may in the end come out as the strongest party if this proves as damaging as some are predicting. The Greens themselves are declaring who their candidate is supposed to be tomorrow on Monday. So they might well overtake the Conservatives, both in speed, but also in terms of having a controlled process. So very dangerous for Angela Merkel's party there.
Michaela Kufner, thank you very much for those insights. It's been a day of remembrance here in Germany to pay tribute to the almost 80,000 people who have died of COVID-19 since the pandemic reached the country. A commemorative service was led by German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier in Berlin. He called it a chance to say goodbye in dignity to those lost to COVID-19, many of whom died alone and without their families in times of unprecedented isolation.
The first person in Germany to test positive for the coronavirus was in late January 2020. Since then, as in most of the rest of the world, life has been put on hold in Germany, and tens of thousands of families left to mourn lost loved ones. The National Requiem provided a moment for Germany to pause and reflect on those who had either died because of the virus or had passed away, separated from their families due to pandemic restrictions.
Also schauen wir heute.
Today we're focusing not on numbers and statistics, but on the people that we've lost. For all of their differences and the different ways in which they lived, they're all missed by their families and friends, by their neighbors and their colleagues, by our society. None of them will come back, but they remain in our memories. We will not forget them.
Wir vergessen sie nicht.
Only a few people could attend the Requiem due to social distancing rules. They included Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as relatives of people who had died during the pandemic. Most of the ceremony was given over to them and their poignant stories.
Acht Tage bangen.
8 days of worrying, of waiting, waiting for the doctor to call me every day, hoping for a miracle, praying that my worst fears would not come true. My worst fears came true. On the 14th of April, I was allowed to go to the ICU to my husband when it was clear that medicine could do nothing more for him.
Germany's President Frank-Walter Steinmeier spoke of hope during the ceremony. Germany was able to keep rates of infection down in the initial phase of the pandemic due to lockdown measures and social distancing. But numbers started to rise last autumn, and now the country is battling a third wave. Steinmeier said by remaining united and caring for each other, the pandemic will pass by. Words of encouragement for a nation, like so many others around the world, that is grieving for all those lost to the coronavirus.
And in South Africa, a massive wildfire broke out on Sunday morning in Cape Town. It started in the Table Mountain National Park and quickly spread. The bushfire began on the slopes of the landmark tourist attraction. It forced students from the University of Cape Town to evacuate after numerous buildings on campus were engulfed by flames. A famous restaurant and South Africa's oldest windmill, built in 1796, were also burned to the ground. Helicopter crews dropped water bombs in an effort to quell the blaze as winds rapidly spread the flames. CW correspondent Adrian Kriech is in Cape Town and has the latest on this developing story. Adrian, what's the situation? Has the fire been contained?
No, you can still see Cape Town. Parts of the Table Mountain is still on fire. You can still see a lot of smoke on top of the city ball and parts of the southern suburbs. So there is still things happening. The fire is still on. What we initial reports suggested that behind the fire, the reason were homeless people, according to the park authority, who were doing a fire up on the slopes of Table Mountain. If that is true, that would have not been the first time that this was happening, especially because of the pandemic. The number of homeless people in Cape Town significantly increased in the past months, and some of them do live and sleep on the slopes of Table Mountain, and obviously if they want to prepare food, this is also where they would do it. But it is not 100% confirmed. What is clear, though, we had a very hot weekend here in Cape Town. It is still the dry season, and because of the strong winds today, the fire managed to spread pretty fast, and this is why we have such a large scale of the fire at the moment still.
Table Mountain is obviously Cape Town's biggest landmark. It's part of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Are there already estimates of how much of the national park might have been destroyed?
No, at this point, it's not clear at all. We don't have any information on how many areas were affected. Obviously, it's going to be a large part, but also properties were affected. And I mean, this is what people at the moment are still most worried about, that the fire could still possibly spread further into residences, into places where people are living. The wind forecast for tomorrow, unfortunately, does not look good. It's going to be a windy day, so this might lead to another problem if they won't be able to contain the fire by tonight.
Adrian Kreisch in Cape Town, thank you very much. In the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich have released a statement criticizing their coach Hansi Flick after he publicly stated he wants to leave the club in the summer. Flick made the announcement after Bayern secured another crucial victory in the Bundesliga. Erik-Maxime Choupo-Moting was among the scorers as they beat high-flying Wolfsburg on Saturday. Flick's side are now 7 points clear of challengers Leipzig with 5 games remaining. Max Merrill is here for more on this bombshell announcement. Max, it's been a short but extremely successful spell for Flick at Bayern. What's next for him?
Well, all signs point to the Germany job, which is going to be vacated by Joachim Löw after the Euros in July. Hansi Flick actually was his assistant for probably the most successful period in recent history for the German national team. And with Löw leaving, it just makes sense. He was linked to the job even before he announced his intention to leave the club. And looking at it as a career move, it makes total sense. You go off the back of a treble winning season where you then pick up 6 titles, looking like you're going to pick up your 7th title now. And the only way really is down. They're out of the Cup and the Champions League already this season, and they've looked defensively quite fragile at times. And this way he'll be fondly remembered as one of the most successful coaches in such a short space of time. And the doors for the German national team job are absolutely wide open, however. He still has a contract at Bayern until 2023, so maybe a bit of a legal battle there first.
All right, so a job opening at the Bundesliga top club. Who do you think could be his successor?
Well, the name on everyone's lips is Julian Nagelsmann. Now, he's currently in charge of RB Leipzig, who are Bayern's main title rival and also looking to establish themselves as that second big club in Germany. And I think Nagelsmann is also kind of still out to prove himself there. It's a tough job for him there, but not as much pressure as Bayern. And I think he'll stay there. It'll be a weak move for Leipzig if they just let him go or pave the way for him to go. And Bayern's preference has always been a German coach. Now, Nagelsmann doesn't have a release clause. Joachim Löw, who's coming off the national team gig, he doesn't seem to be interested in taking a job anytime soon. Also doesn't get along with a couple of the senior squad members at Bayern. And Miroslav Klose, who's currently the assistant of Flick at Bayern, if you want to promote from within, well, he's actually come out today and criticised the communication here, citing a lack of respect in the response. And I also believe a lot of clubs are going to look twice with Salihamidzic, the sporting director, having that much power. And for me, not a very impressive transfer record. Are you really willing to go into that situation? I think the favourite is going to be Erik ten Hag from Ajax, who coached Bayern's reserve team a few years back, speaks German, is Dutch. So I'd put my money on him. Jürgen Klopp would be maybe a bit more of a left-field choice.
All right. Not much time left, but any dark horses besides the ones that you already...
Perhaps Daniel Farke, who just won promotion with Norwich City. He could be one to put your money on. But Flick came out of left field, so it's going to be interesting.
All right. Max Merrill, thank you very much. And Borussia Dortmund played Werder Bremen in Sunday's only game to round off match day 29. So let's have a look at all the results this weekend. Dortmund brushed Bremen aside to win 4-1. On Saturday, Leverkusen hammered Cologne. Gladbach thrashed Frankfurt. Freiburg routed Schalke. Union Berlin beat Stuttgart. Augsburg drew with Bielefeld. And it was also scoreless between Leipzig and Hoffenheim on Friday. Sunday's late match between Mainz and Hertha was postponed due to several COVID cases in the Berlin squad. More sports are up next. Sports Life takes a look at how switching nationality is becoming more and more common among athletes who want to make it to the Olympic Games. I'll be back at the top of the hour. In the meantime, you can always get all the latest headlines on our website. That is dw.com. And make sure to also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You'll find us at DW News. I'm Nicole Fröhlich. For me and the entire team here in Berlin, thank you so much for watching.